federal spending, environmental policy, and what, if anything, to do about repealing and replacing Obamacare. Some of the many questions facing lawmakers in Washington this year. Night District Congressman Morgan Griffith joins Evan Jones and me live this morning by telephone. Congressman Griffith, good morning to you.
Good morning. I hope you're well this morning.
Yes, sir. We're doing fine. Nice to have you with us, Congressman. You know, you talked for years about reducing the degree of federal spending and reach, but the continuing resolution approved late last week appears to do little, if any, to reverse any of that. So, Congressman Griffith, as we start this morning, why did you vote for it?
Well, I voted for last week's CR because it was for 1 week. And so now we're looking at the omnibus bill that will continue funding for a number of programs through September 30th. And you're right. I think it could do a better job of reducing spending. There's some good things in there, some things that I want, but there also is a lot of spending and some things in there I don't think we should be spending money on.
Congressman, conservative talk show hosts are skewering the Republicans who voted for the continuing appropriation, saying in so many words, and I'm paraphrasing them, why are we voting for Republicans if they're simply going to continue spending for programs favored by Democrats? Among Republican faithful, is that a fair criticism?
Well, I think it is perhaps a fair criticism on the omnibus. The CR was just for 1 week, and it gets very confusing because some people call the omnibus the CR and vice versa. But last week's vote was just for 1 week, and so most people said, okay, for 1 week we can deal with spending at the same levels. The vote that we're going to have later today on the omnibus is the one that most of the talk show hosts have gone after. And I think there's some legitimacy in that. I think we could have done a better job. It's not the worst product I've seen, but when you realize we have conservatives in charge of the House, the Senate, and in the White House, I think we could have done a little bit better job. And so I'm at this point, I'm still reading through it. I'm about 1,000 pages in. There's 1,600. But I'm leaning no right now. I'll continue to look at it and study it today. But my thinking is we could have done a little bit better. I think it will pass. We're not looking at the government shutdown. But I think some of us need to say, hey, wait a minute. You all need to understand we can do better.
What are the main reasons your vote, you think you are leaning toward voting no?
Well, as you all indicated, the spending levels are still up. They're still vigorous. We should be looking at cutting some things. There's some programs that are funded in here that I don't think probably ought to be. We continue, although they have to apply for grants, and it's for non-abortion-related items, we continue to fund Planned Parenthood. We haven't dealt with some of the other spending issues that are in here dealing with some of the agencies. I think we could cut back. Now, it does reduce a little bit the EPA, but I think we could cut back their operations in D.C. a little bit more. Now, their field operations, if they were offsetting it, that would be one thing. We're doing a little bit more in the field, looking at making sure people have clean water so we don't have another Flint, Michigan situation. That's important. So I'm not advocating that we get rid of the EPA. But there were a lot of concessions to the Democrats in the Senate. And at some point, the Senate's going to have to understand that the American people want us to do our jobs as they elected us to do it and not to compromise on so many things because of the 60-vote rule where 40 senators can get together and say, we're not going to let you do anything. And they're going to have to change that rule eventually. The Senate has said they're not going to. The president, of course, tweeted yesterday that in September he may want to see him change that, and they said we're not going to. But at some point they're going to have to choose, do we want to build a wall, which is not funded in here at all, and I'm not saying it has to be all bricks and mortar, but are we going to fund protecting our southern border appropriately, or are we going to say, well, we can't do it because of the 60-vote rule? Senators are going to have to choose. This particular omnibus, I think, doesn't do what Jefferson told us we ought to do. Thomas Jefferson said each house should make its own decision, not worrying about what the other house is going to do, and then work it out in a compromise between the two houses. We're not doing that. This bill has been designed to placate the Senate, and particularly the Senate Democrats, and I don't like the spending.
We are speaking with 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. And Congressman, you've stated you were prepared to vote in favor of the proposal to replace the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and you did vote in favor of the version that went through in committee. But as we all know, a Republican majority has not yet agreed on a version that can pass. What will it take? Are you confident the version can pass, and what will it take to succeed in that regard?
I think we're very, very close to getting the votes necessary to pass the bill. There's been a number of tweaks to the bill, but it's essentially the same bill that we had before. There's all kinds of folks spreading false news, so to speak, and it's not the news media. I'm not picking on them today. I'm just saying that, you know, people are saying that, you know, we're getting rid of pre-existing conditions. Well, that's just not accurate. That's not in the bill. And, you know, it does get complicated, and you can make an argument that if, for some reason, you do not have insurance for 64 days, that you would pay a higher premium if you had a pre-existing condition for a period of 1 year. Under some circumstances, that would be true. Under others, it wouldn't be. But by and large, everybody with a pre-existing condition is going to be able to get insurance, and we're trying to figure out how to make that even better as we work on it today. And whenever we get around to it, whenever we have the votes, we'll put it on the floor and get it passed. But I think we're very, very close. Negotiations are continuing on all kinds of different fronts.
It is 8:51. 9th District Congressman, Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith joining Evan and I this morning. Congressman Griffith, as you know quite well, the General Assembly acts on legislation within a couple of months or so each year, and it can safely be said that Congress moves much more slowly. Now, you must find that frustrating, but what can you do about it?
Well, I do find it frustrating. You know, we worked very fast when I was in the Virginia General Assembly. We didn't get everything perfect, but we got it done, and we were ready to move on. And then the next year, if we had made some mistakes, which we did on occasion, of course, we would come back and fix it. And I wish Congress had that more of that attitude. First, they go very slow, and then they don't like to admit that they made a mistake previously and are not willing to fix it.
One in rich. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What can I do about it? I'm trying to change the rules in the House, and I'm, of course, trying to encourage the senators to change the rules by constantly pointing out how silly some of their rules are. Some of our rules in the House are silly. But I had one success this year, and we changed a little rule that hopefully as we go through regular order and the appropriations process, instead of doing a take-it-or-leave-it omnibus like we have today, my rule will help make the system move more quickly and make the government adjust and respond to the people's wishes in a more timely fashion.
And Congressman, speaking of rules, one in Richmond and that when in the House of Delegates, then as House Majority Leaders, you were known for always carrying around Robert's Rules with you. And now in Washington, it's Jefferson's Manual, which governs parliamentary procedure in Congress. And can you point to an instance where you have found in Congress carrying these rules around with you at all times useful?
Yes. You know, a lot of the members know that I know the rules, and sometimes they'll come to me, and we've had this occasion happen on occasion, and say, what can we do here or what can we do there? There was one issue, I can't remember the particulars, where a minority of Republicans claimed time on the floor because we knew the rules, and I was advising them on how to do that, and so they were able to claim time on the floor in one of the debates. Where otherwise they wouldn't have been able to. And then it has helped raise my stature with other members of Congress because they know. In fact, a meeting yesterday morning, chairman of a subcommittee looked over and said, is that right, Morgan? Is that in compliance with the rules? And I nodded and said, yes, sir, that's correct. So it just helps people realize that, you know what you're talking about after they follow that, you know, this guy actually reads the rules. And, you know, I'm a little weird. I like the rules. I like studying the rules. And I like for people to know exactly how the process works. And if they do that, I think we can get a better process. Right now, we tend to abandon the rules on a regular basis just to get the job done. I don't care for that.
Along that line, after three terms, now in your fourth, is this something just you're the rules guy? You sort of feel like you're sort of finding your place amongst the 435 members there, the sort of a role besides being some guy just there.
Well, I definitely think that, that I've carved out a niche, not only on the rules, but on some of the policy issues that are important to Southwest Virginia. Being on the Energy Committee has helped on the energy issues. Also, people recognize that, you know, if you're talking about trying to make sure that we're doing the right thing for rural hospitals and rural health care, telemedicine, et cetera, people have come to recognize, okay, that's one of Morgan's issues.
Congressman Morgan Griffith, 9th District, Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. That's going to do it for our time this morning on behalf of Evan and I and our listeners this morning. Congressman Griffith, know you're busy. Always good to talk to you. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us. We appreciate it.